Welcome on in to the Sports on Tap Brothers podcast, Who Could Talk Edition 2. We've been doing the podcast longer than two episodes, George, but it is Who Could Talk Edition 2. And I am your co-host and the little brother, Sammy.
I'm big brother, other co-host, George Arjour, George on Tap. So, George.
George. Overall, his name's George. We are in a different location. Last time, if you're watching on YouTube or on some clips or whatever you may be watching on, we are in the backyard last time. Now we're in a garage, and you see some boxes around our dad's old classic car. We're doing it at our parents' garage. A lot of space, but they got some products in here, and there's a lot of wind outside, so this is where we have to be, George.
Yeah, you can't do the hookah in the wind. It ruins the hookah. Plus, I don't know what the mics would do with the wind either.
Plus the camera falling over.
Yeah,
and stuff.
That also.
That was my biggest concern was the camera, to be honest. Well, I think we just got to get into this today. As you know, we like to do a little bit of a different style. Less debate, less arguing. We talked about it on our last episode a lot, so I'm not going to talk about it too much. But for every new listener we pick up, I like to mention this is an interview style podcast more than it is a debate argument.
Absolutely, because we have a theory that sports should be fun, and sports debate shows are just no longer fun.
Essentially. Yeah. There are some good ones, but most of the good ones are like the non-debate now.
Yeah, Bill Simmons, Colin Cowherd, a lot of even like the Barstool stuff, like Part of My Take, right? It's not really a debate style. They kind of play off each other's jokes.
Yeah, or just having fun talking about sports. I mean, my big thing with sports these days is, even if it's not about jokes, even if it's not about debate, I think me and you have a idea to keep sports fun. And yeah, you're going to talk sometimes some negativity. Sometimes there's bad things that happen in sports, but it's all for fun.
Absolutely. Sports is fun. That's why it's an escape from the real world, and that's what we're trying to do.
That's maybe my first sneeze on the podcast.
I used to sneeze a lot when we used to do it in Washington State because of my allergies, but not so much here in Arizona.
Woo!
Bless you.
And you know, that's a good way to start the podcast. Sneeze, I woke up. You know, they say it's like 1/8 of an orgasm.
Yeah. You sneeze 8 times, you have a full orgasm.
I don't know if the science matches up, but
I've never sneezed. Have you ever sneezed 8 times in a row?
I think there are people that have like a chronic sneeze thing.
Really? But like 8 in a row, would you have a full orgasm? Who knows?
I don't know.
Have you ever done that 8 times, let me know.
Yeah, let us know. Nice science experiment. Question one, George. Yeah. Question one. We are going with my first question of the day. Okay, I'm ready for this.
Me too.
My question to you is, do we overthink the NBA and who's going to win every year?
Wow, now, that's a good question.
I'm going to tell you why I'm posing this question. And this question is going to be a lot of rambling by me and then you answering it. But are we overthinking the NBA? Here is the list of winners in the last 10 years, since 2012. Yeah. And you can just name the person that was the most important or the MVP of that series. Yeah. The Miami Heat.
LeBron.
The Miami Heat.
LeBron.
The Spurs.
That year, probably Tony Parker.
Okay, well, Kawhi Leonard was the MVP of that year. But Kawhi Leonard was the MVP. So just throwing that out there. The Warriors. We know it was Andre Iguodala, but...
Steph.
The Cavs.
LeBron.
The Warriors and the Warriors. Who was the finals MVP of those
two? Durant.
And then the Raptors won. Who was the...
Kawhi.
Okay. And then the Lakers won.
LeBron.
And then the Milwaukee Bucks.
Giannis.
And then the Warriors.
Curry.
So the main player on every championship team for the last... Like, not the, either the main player or the finals MVP, because I don't want to hate on Tim Duncan or Curry or like... Or Tim Duncan or Parker. Or I don't want to hate on, let's say, Anthony Davis or Steph Curry when Durant was MVP. But the last 10 years, the last 10 championships... The finals MVPs, except for one, which was Andre Iguodala, was either Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, Steph Curry, or Kevin Durant, and one Giannis.
And one Giannis. So and five, right now, five MVPs in what, 12 years?
And yeah, and then the year that Giannis won, the losing team was the Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and the Suns, and he's added to the Suns now. And this year, right now, sneaking up in the West, we have the Lakers with LeBron. We have Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers there. We have Kevin Durant there. We have Steph Curry all bunched up with the same amount of losses, I think. In the East, we, of course, have Giannis. So part of me's thinking, in my personal head, I'm like, are one of those guys, Kawhi, LeBron, Curry, Durant, Giannis, probably going to win again? And I want to know what you think of that. Because how many other teams are like the favorites?
I mean, possibly, but here's how. I think we used to overthink the NBA because the NBA didn't have so much parity back in the day. I mean, growing up, it was Kobe, Duncan, Jordan, LeBron, now Steph. Like, there was these main guys. But the last few years, we've actually kind of not known who's going to be the NBA champion heading into the time that the NBA playoffs began. We didn't know the Lakers were going to win in the bubble. It kind of, the bubble was kind of wide open. We didn't know that the Bucks were going to win, that NBA was wide open. I mean, Kevin Durant's foot wasn't on the line. Brooklyn Nets might have won last year.
Yeah, but that was Kevin Durant also. True. Part of the list. Part of the list.
Yeah, but you become part of a list when you win. The Toronto Raptors were also a team you didn't expect to win the NBA Finals.
Yeah, but it was – but this is my only point is everything you're saying about don't expect, outside of Giannis on that list, it's the exact same players, even Kawhi Leonard and the
Raptors. Right, but that's how it – I mean – yeah, but I think at the same time, I think we're not overthinking it because I think the NBA now has some parity. Going into this NBA playoffs, you just named five different guys that could win it. You named Giannis, you named Steph, you named Durant, you named LeBron. There's probably a Jason Tatum argument in there somewhere, which I don't believe it is, but there is probably one. It could be Jokic. There's Kawhi. There's a lot of teams that can win the NBA championship this year. So I don't think we're overthinking the NBA playoffs anymore because I think there's parity now in the league. I think if you asked me this question 4 or 5 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, we're overthinking it. I mean, we had like, what, 5 straight years almost where we're like, all right, it's going to be LeBron versus the Warriors.
Or LeBron versus the Spurs.
Or LeBron versus
OKC and Durant.
Literally since 2012, we knew LeBron was going to be in the NBA Finals all the way up until that bubble season. Or we knew the Warriors were going to be in the NBA Finals. In general, I think we used to overthink the NBA. But now I believe that the NBA is actually full of parity because I can make an argument for so many different teams to win. If you just look from the 4 seed of the Western Conference all the way to like the 11th seed, there's like 5 games separating them. Like the parity in the league is remarkable.
Okay, well, I'm going to do 2 follow-up things to what you said. One is every single NBA championship, 2012 through 2022, had either the Warriors or LeBron James except for one.
Yeah,
which was the Bucks, Suns, and Giannis is now at that like level of what those guys were at. But I feel like I'm asking you the same thing that you just said, but maybe I said it in the wrong way because when I say are we overthinking the NBA, I don't mean like is there and watch out for your cord, you're stepping on my cord. I'm not saying there's no parity. What I'm saying is, are we overthinking it when, because every answer you gave me outside of Tatum and Jokic, who I don't believe in the Celtics winning this year, that's a personal thing, but, and Jokic and the Nuggets have been playing bad recently, but of course they have a chance. Just like Giannis was the first to break the LeBron, Curry, Durant cycle and Kawhi cycle over the last 10 years. I feel like maybe I asked the question the wrong way because maybe there is more parity now maybe with the teams, but I guess, are we overthinking when you mentioned teams in the West, you named all the guys that won and the different teams that won, you still mentioned, outside of Jokic and the Celtics, you still mentioned Durant, LeBron, Kawhi, and the Warriors, which my point was, maybe not like, are we overthinking it as in like, which one of them are going to win? But like, do you think, I guess, maybe if where you can put your money on it, that I feel like the odds might be higher to just take your money right now and put $100 on each of the 5 teams that have Durant, LeBron, Giannis, Kawhi, and Curry, and it's most likely one of those 5 are going to win because they've won every single year for the last 10 years. There hasn't been one star player outside of those 5 to win a championship in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that, but for
or
me,
a better follow-up. Sorry, let me just follow. Do you think it's more likely they win or one of the new breakout teams? That's kind of what I'm getting to. Like, is it more likely one of those 5 guys, again, consistently win or a Jokic in a... or a Ja Morant come out of nowhere? I feel like it's so much more likely the 5 guys.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're talking about, you're giving your percentage 5 versus like 2. I would say the 2 teams that haven't won yet, or player on those teams that hasn't won yet, the 2 that could win are Tatum and Jokic. So, yeah, I'd rather, you know, if I'm going to put my odds on things, I'd take one of those 5 versus one of those 2 because you have better odds. But I don't think we're overthinking it because I really think there's parity. Do you have like, I guess I used to think of it like I knew for a fact that either LeBron or the Warriors were going to win for like 5 straight years. And now I have no idea heading into this NBA playoffs who's going to win the NBA championship. I have no idea where I want to put my money. I'm going to put my money on the Bucks most likely, but really I don't know where I'm going to put my money.
So I think in total, you're saying it's more likely to have a 2020 or 2021 year like Bucks Suns, where maybe one of those new teams win compared to other years, because that was kind of my point
it's
here.
More likely. I'm not saying it's going to happen, though. But is it more likely? Yeah, but I think this NBA now is full of parody. Like, you remember those years we knew going into the playoffs, like, do we really need to watch? It's going to be LeBron versus the Warriors.
Correct.
We knew it. Do you think that way anymore?
No, but that's where I do think we have more parody. But I guess the point of my whole discussion here was just the simple idea that even if it's not LeBron, the Warriors, there's still only three other stars to win in the last 10 years, which is Durant, who's done it multiple times, Kawhi multiple times, and Giannis once. Yeah. And so Giannis is the only one that has one championship compared to all the other of those guys I named in the last 10 years. Like, it's crazy if you think about it. LeBron's three, four for Curry, also three for Durant in there, and two for Kawhi.
Two for Durant. He has two championships.
Yeah, he does have two championships. Sorry, he lost to LeBron in 2012. He was also in that championship.
Yeah, but I guess in a way, like, we've had guys come out of nowhere that we didn't expect to win championships in the last, like, let's say 11 years. But you probably didn't expect Giannis to win that NBA championship. You didn't expect Kawhi to win that one. You also didn't expect the Kawhi to win the one with the Spurs, right? I mean, you probably, when the Warriors came on the scene, everyone was just waiting, are they for real, until they won the championship. I mean, we might look at this at the end of the season when Jokic finally wins a championship, and all of a sudden, like, they're in contention next year. Now it's only six guys on the list. I mean, there's only one champion. So, like, the odds of what you're saying are high. I just think that there's parity. That's my big difference. So, and I actually think now there's so many stars in this league. This league is full of stars, and anyone could really win with a hot playoff run. I feel like it's more hockey now in the NHL, where there's a lot of teams that can win the championship.
We have a hockey expert here, I say.
I'm not, but I've noticed, like, when I look at the hockey, like, Stanley Cup, I feel like every year someone different.
It's like the Red Wings and then Tampa Bay. I feel like I think no Canadian team's won, like, 10
forever.
Years.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I always, like, oh, wow, it's another random hockey championship. And I feel like the NBA is not going to be to that extent, but it also has a lot more parity where anyone could really win the NBA championship from those high-level teams. Like, the high-level, like, it used to be, for sure, we know the Warriors are coming out, we know LeBron's coming out. Now it's no longer we know who's coming out. Like, literally the East, I think the Bucks can come out, the 76ers could come out, the Celtics could come out from the West.
Maybe the Heat, because they've done it.
Yeah. In the West, I wouldn't be shocked if Jokic came out. I wouldn't be shocked if Kawhi, Curry, Durant, or LeBron. There's five teams in the West I wouldn't be shocked if they won the NBA championship. Really, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I guess we're seeing it in two different ways. And what I mean by that is, like, I think we have different perspectives of parity, right? Because I do agree with you, there are more teams that can win at this time, right? Because even the years where you had, let's say, Kawhi in the league, but you knew it was going to be the Warriors, Cavs. Yeah. You knew Kawhi is not making, like, last couple of years on the Clippers, or his last couple of years on the Spurs before when he never even played. Like, you knew it was going to be Warriors, Cavs.
Exactly. Right? That's my point here.
But I think, overall, to sum it up, my thoughts on parity, there's still not that much star parity in the league.
Until
somebody like a Jokic or somebody like a Jason Tatum wins a championship, because the guys, again, you just named, five of the seven you just named are the five guys the last 10 years that have won. Yeah. So if we have either the Suns, Lakers, Warriors, Bucks, or Clippers win, we are 11 out of 11 years where it's either Durant, LeBron, Kawhi, Curry, or Giannis. Yeah. And so we're talking 50%, like, not even, we have 100%, sorry, of the years in the last 11 years being one of those five guys, if one of them win this year. But I do agree with you in the sense of this year, there is definitely less of a surefire pick in both the West and the East. Like, even last year when the Warriors won, it was like, I don't know if the Warriors can make it to the championship.
And the Celtics. Yeah. Both, if you actually look at the last three NBA finals, I didn't know who was going to come out of the West. The Warriors did. I didn't know who was going to come out the East. The Celtics did. The year before that, the Bucks, like people were like, Boldenheiser, however you say his last name, Mike Bolden.
Mike Budden.
Now
I don't know.
Mike Budenhauser, whatever his name is.
Coach Bud.
Coach Bud. He was almost going to be fired. I mean, the Hawks almost came out. They went to 7 games against the Bucks, and they played the Suns, who'd never been in the NBA Finals before, never even been in the playoffs before with Devin Booker. And the year before that, the Miami Heat came out of a bubble out of nowhere, and the Lakers with Anthony Davis and LeBron made their first ever playoff appearance, and they won the NBA Finals.
Yeah, okay. So that is – I do agree then. We do have way more parity in the sense of no fucking idea who to put my money on to make it out of the East or West.
I have no idea this year.
Like, I can tell you right now, from the top seeds, Kings and Grizzlies will not make the NBA Finals.
I can say that with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, like, obviously it's not impossible. I'm not sitting here to be a hot take guy. Like, they'll never make the... Like, I don't know. Maybe they go on a run. But, like, I can say with high confidence, in my humble opinion, that it's either going to be the Lakers, the Warriors, the Suns, or the Nuggets.
Yeah, that's a lot of teams.
Yes, but
that's half of the playoff teams.
But my theory will stand in the sense of, like, we don't have much star parity. If there's one of the guys I mentioned, which it's extremely highly likely to have a Giannis versus either LeBron, Durant, or Curry championship, or even a Kawhi, the Clippers can come out of nowhere now, Paul George. We are going to be sitting on 11 years straight of one of those guys winning a championship, which to me is... It's parity, yes. You know why? Because it's not like the LeBron Curry years or like even Jordan back in the day where I'm telling you one or two guys for 5-6 years. We're talking about 5 guys for 10 years. So it's like 50-50, right? Exactly. Like they're splitting the championships. But I do find it crazy that if one of those teams win, we're talking about the same 5 dudes 11 years straight, both young and old with like Giannis, wins a championship. To me... It's parity, but it's still like maybe the whole overseason would be, or the whole off season, or regular season, sorry, would have been overthought. Like, oh, once again, Giannis came out, and once again, he's playing against LeBron or Curry or Durant in the championship. And you're like, huh, if I look back next, if I look at the standings next year, can I guess again it's going to be one of these 5 guys to win a championship? So I think it's. We have so much parity, but we also have the same dudes winning year in and year out.
Yeah, my last thought is, like, I was so accustomed my whole life that, like, okay, Jordan was going to win, like, 6 out of 8 years. And then the Lakers were dominant, the Spurs were dominant, the Heat and LeBron and Curry were dominant. Now, like, I feel like it's wide open. That's the difference.
Who do you think is going to be in the NBA championship?
The Bucks versus the Nuggets.
See, I personally don't have confidence in the Nuggets. I don't know why. I think maybe I've been just scarred by the way they played lately, and Jokic has been out a couple games. I truly believe from the West, we're either going to see the Lakers, Warriors, or Suns. Durant, Curry, or LeBron. The Lakers are getting hot at the right time. Anthony Davis is getting hot at the right time. The Warriors can't win on the road, but wait for the playoffs.
Wiggins coming back this week.
Yeah, we wait till they play the Kings like in the first round, and the Kings are like, holy fucking shit, we're playing the Warriors. And then... I mean, Durant and the Suns are 6-0. And Devin Booker led a team to the NBA Finals. Now they have Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and Kevin Durant. The East, though, I think it is more likely like we don't have... The one guy in the East now is Giannis that's won a championship. Yeah. So it is very likely that one of those other teams could upset them. But they, to me, still, they're the best team in the East.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They are the best team in the NBA right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would love to, Giorgio. I would love to see somebody new in it.
Although I'd like to see Jokic win it.
Yeah, I would too. Maybe even Embiid. I know a lot of people probably don't want to see Harden win it, but I think as a number two, people care less now.
He's a number two. He's not a number one. That's what my theory is.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but we'll see if my theory stands true. Like, if I should just every year for the next, like, 5 years put my money on one of those 5 guys. And
we'll find out.
Call it a day, you know? You never know. Well, George, we're going to get on to question two.
All right, Sammy, question number two. And this has nothing to do really with anything going on in sports right now, but I saw a picture today of a statue outside of a sports arena. I don't know. I forget who it was. I don't even know.
Statue?
A statue.
You don't know who the statue was?
No, I was just scrolling through Twitter and I saw a statue. It made me think of something. Sammy, if you're a player or in general, what do you think means more? Like to actually make the Hall of Fame or for your team to put a statue in front of their stadium?
Okay.
You like this question?
Yeah. Although, I'm not going to say I don't like it, because I actually think it brings up an interesting topic here, which is, first of all, what are the chances you have a statue and you're not in the Hall of Fame?
Very high. Very, very high.
I can name one.
I can name multiple.
Don't give me like soccer or something. Like, give me the American Pro.
The Seattle Mariners have Ichiro in the Hall of Fame, Randy Johnson in the Hall of Fame, Edgar Martinez in the Hall of Fame. Ken Griffey Jr. has a statue. The Bulls have Scottie Pippen in the Hall of Fame, Dennis Rodman in the Hall of Fame, Phil Jackson.
No, that's not what I meant. You answered this question incorrectly. I said, what are the chances you have a statue and you're not in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, okay.
The only one I can think of is Nick Foles.
Nick Foles, yeah.
Nick Foles and Doug Peterson outside of Eagle Stadium. And
which is like, did they really deserve a statue? I don't know. I mean, the Eagle, like, but it's a cool statue.
It meant a lot to the Eagles in Philadelphia.
So I guess what means more to a player, like getting that statue or making the Hall of Fame?
So we're saying, hypothetically, for someone like Nick Foles, what he'd rather have is that statue and a Super Bowl win outside of Eagle Stadium, or be like a Hall of Fame quarterback for his whole career, which also would mean he had probably made way more money in his career. He made bigger impact long term, right?
Yeah.
Because realistically, I think the answer has to be to have a statue. But now that's where it gets tricky. Like, if you're Nick Foles, it's cool you have a statue, you won a Super Bowl, but like, you're not a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Well, he's in the Hall of Fame, kind of. Because they put records in the Hall of Fame. He has most touchdowns in a game of 7.
Okay, so there's no players in the history of the world that would have a statue that aren't in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any. I don't know. But just in general, what do you think means more to the player, I guess?
So you're asking me, like, would Scottie Pippen give up his Hall of Fame status to have a statue outside the Bulls arena?
Yeah, or Edgar Martinez for the Mariners. Give up his Hall of Fame and have a statue outside the stadium. I mean, I guess he does have Edgar Martinez Drive outside, named after him, but he doesn't have a statue.
I would say the Hall of Fame means... Well, okay, let me take that back. I would say statue means more to someone like me, but it seems like these players... Mm-hmm. Really, really, really value being a Hall of Famer. And maybe especially, I think this might break down by sport.
Yeah, I think so too.
Everyone in the NBA makes the Hall of Fame, right?
Mitch Richmond is a fucking Hall of Famer.
I think if you asked Mitch Richmond or like Tracy McGrady, would they rather have a statue outside of the stadium? And like, statue also probably means you won a championship. Like, so let's add that.
So you wouldn't really want a statue. I guess Griffey doesn't have a championship, but baseball's so different.
Yeah. When I say specific answers, they're probably very
broad.
Broad, because like, it depends on the sport, right? Mike Trout is going to be in the Hall of Fame and have a statue outside of Angel Stadium.
Not every stadium has a statue either. Yeah, I remember that.
That's also true. And but
Kevin Jordan started the statue thing, like when the Bulls put the statue outside of the United Center. Not too many people had statues beforehand.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when like statues became a thing, to be honest.
Me either, but I just thought it was interesting. Like, Shaq has a statue now outside of Staples, and Kobe.
Yeah, there's like 15. I don't know if Kobe has one yet, but he's gonna have one. They have the Shaq. I saw it in person. Remember, I took a picture. They have one hanging on like an edge.
Yeah,
like on a dunk, and they have like Magic and Kareem and like everyone, pretty much everyone from those eras.
I feel like here's my hierarchy. Tell me if you agree or disagree. Jersey hanging on the rafters is the lowest. Hall of Fame is second. Statue is like immortal. Like, a lot of people get their jersey retired, but not Hall of Famers. And it's
very sport oriented again, because Pau Gasol just got his number retired for the Lakers. Yeah. In my opinion, maybe because it's basketball. I think basketball. Let's answer this by sport. Yeah. Basketball. I'm going to answer this by sport. Basketball. I'd rather have my jersey retired.
Yeah.
Have a championship or have a statue. But in order, I'd rather have...
Forget the championship.
Well, there are... Because you're going to have a championship in basketball if you have a statue. So,
sure, yeah.
So I guess it would go statue, jersey, Hall of Fame in basketball.
Hall of Fame would be your least important.
Yeah, because if I'm like a Mitch Richmond,
yeah,
I'd much rather have a statue and my jersey retired than be in the Hall of Fame for basketball, where everyone makes the Hall of Fame.
True.
Now, if we talk football... I've seen these guys' speeches crying. Terrell Owens didn't even get to like speak at the Hall of Fame, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and there was drama over like, is he gonna make it? There's always like, who can make the Hall of Fame? Because it's so like, people are arguing if Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer in baseball even baseball is hard, but like, if Eli Manning was in baseball or basketball, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He had 2 championships,
absolutely.
MVP, right? Like, be like saying, who's a two-time like I don't even know. Like there's gonna be guys that are no-time champions that are easily in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Bryce Harper's and Mike Trout's of the world. Like Eli Manning, best like MVP, two times World Series, he'd be in the Hall of Fame in a heartbeat, right? So I think for basketball, like I said, the jersey retirement means a lot. Like to in my head. I would go jersey and statue right there. Statue's probably more valuable, actually. Statue's
the most valuable, yeah. I think, in basketball.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of stadiums don't even have a statue. Like right,
most don't. I don't think, we go to the Phoenix Suns Arena down the street. They don't have a statue.
Who would they have a statue of?
Charles Barkley, maybe.
Yeah, he didn't win.
I know.
That's why they wouldn't have Like, Dirk got a statue.
Statues must be a new thing. Like, it must be, right?
Not really. I mean, Jordan's had a statue for the last 20 years.
What I mean, you think our lifetime.
Yeah, in our lifetime, sure. But I also don't have the statistics. I don't know if Larry Bird had a statue. Like, I'll look it up, actually.
Yeah,
because
a great idea. Look up if Larry Bird
that's a good, like, brace.
Statue. Like, it's so funny, like, what the value is of a statue outside of a stadium. But, like, I really think it's, like, a new thing. Like, I think dictators were the only thing that had statues in, like, foreign countries. And now, like... or I guess presidents here in the United States, and now we got like people getting statues.
Larry Bird has two statues.
He has two statues.
Indiana State statue, and Larry Bird was in awe at the statue himself unveiled at the Boston Garden. Life-size wooden statue of Bird was unveiled in 1988 prior to Celtics.
Okay, so it's not a new thing.
It's not. And this
a wooden statue. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but it feels really like it would rot or something. But so overall, in basketball, statues is a thing. Like, Giannis will get a statue in Milwaukee, right? Because, like, he just will. Yeah. Like, LeBron's going to get
they
one in Cleveland.
Make him, like, look like a Greek goddess.
Well, I mean, it's what he looks like, so probably will. There's a lot of guys that are going to get statues. Basketball, I definitely say statue and, like, jersey retirement up there because that means you won a championship, likely. Mm-hmm. I'd be shocked if, like... Like you said, like Charles Barkley, he's not going to get a statue.
I think like Dan Majerle has his number retired in Miami, but he doesn't have the NBA championship.
Okay, but that's why I said statue, jersey.
Yeah, so statue first, jersey second.
And then Hall of Fame because everyone makes it. Baseball, I think the most prestigious thing you can have is Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame, yeah.
Like being in a baseball
Hall of Fame.
I think it's
Hall statue in baseball too because like I don't think many stadiums have statues in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but
that
just depends on your team too. Like if you're the Yankees, they're not going to do statue because
they have the monument.
Yeah, well, but still, they're not going to forget monuments. Talk about statues. Yeah. They're not going to do statues because they would have to do 55 statues.
Yeah, that's why they did the monument.
Yeah. So that's why statue I'm not valuing that much in baseball because there's been too many years at this point.
Yeah.
And too little amount of teams in the early 1900s that there'd be like have to be guys that have like statues all over.
Yeah, true.
So baseball for me, I feel like the Hall of Fame is most prestigious. I feel like they retire jerseys pretty often.
I think baseball retires like jerseys or like the Mariners. They put them in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. Yeah. And then football. Football. I don't know how many football statues there are.
I don't think there's many football statues because like a lot of them would be like offensive linemen. People are like, who the fuck is this guy? That guy is our left tackle for 30 years.
Walter Jones has a statue at like the SeaTac airport.
What?
I'm pretty sure. You don't know that?
Walter Jones has a statue at the SeaTac airport.
Have you never seen that?
No, this is a brand new thing I'm learning here on the podcast.
For those that don't know who Walter Jones is he's Mariners, like, they're not Mariners.
Seahawks. I saw him at Applebee's once.
There you go. This is Walter Jones bronze sculpture at the SeaTac Airport.
Wow, that is absolutely mind-blowing to me right now.
They can't see that. Maybe you can, actually.
All right, what's more valuable, having your statue outside of your stadium or at the airport?
Airport, man. More eyes.
I see more eyes, too, man. People like, and you walking around the airport, you see a statue of a football player, you're going to stop and be like, who the hell is this? At least I would.
Yeah, especially if you're not from that city. Like, exactly. Oh, who's this guy? In summary, to be honest, I think Hall of Fame is extremely valuable in baseball and football.
Okay.
There's a lot of Ring of Honor in football, too, that like their names not retiring numbers. Yeah. There's too many players to retire numbers in football.
Yeah, you'd run out of numbers pretty quick.
Yeah, 53-man rosters. I mean, if you retired like five numbers, we're down to... You can't be number like... I don't know. There's no zero or double zero.
This year, they just gave it gave it out. You can be
only
number zero.
Only not double zero.
No, you can be double zero and zero. Okay. Now.
So we have like 101 numbers. So if you retire like five of them, you're already like down a very low amount of numbers. Yeah. So... For a 50-something roster. So, football, I think in baseball, the Hall of Fame is the most important thing.
Okay, I like that.
And in basketball, it's got to be like the jersey and the statue. Because, statue first, jersey second. And That's just because, like, that means you have a forever lasting impact ever in that city. Now, with Pro Football Hall of Fame, there's also only, like, 230-something members or 300.
That's it. Wow. That's
yeah, amazing. Like, here, I'll look up the difference because I think the Pro Football Hall of Fame is, like, an extremely small number. Small. Yeah. Like,
and
very.
I know baseball writers and association, like, put value on the Hall of Fame the most.
Yeah, I mean, unlike basketball that, you know.
Yeah, I feel bad for Mitch Richmond. Everyone uses him as the example over and over and over again.
There's 371 football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's not a lot of people.
So that's a low amount. I think baseball is going to be bigger, right? Because
it's just a longer standing sport, you know?
Yeah, the Hall of Fame is 342 in baseball. That's it's actually it. Smaller. 270 former major league players, 40 executives, 22 managers, and 10 umpires.
Okay, that's why they probably put so much emphasis on it.
How much is your guess for the NBA? I think it's not that high of a number, but they've recently just started putting in
everyone. It's probably 300.
You think so? I feel like I could name like 100.
Basketball Hall of Fame, probably 300, 400.
There's 178 basketball players.
Players, but they like every broadcaster, I feel like, that's been around for 20 years gets into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not finding the number for the whole Hall of Fame, but and there's no baseball. I mean, basketball has no limit to how many people can make it.
Per year.
It's the only sport. So, in total, I'm going to say basketball, the statue means the most. I mean, like off the top of my head, I guess Larry Bird, like Dirk, LeBron, all the Lakers players have it. That's the thing for the Lakers. Yeah. Like, I don't know how many
Knicks have it. I don't know.
I don't think Knicks have any. So, like, I just don't know how many I can name.
Yeah.
But I could definitely name in basketball way too many Hall of Famers, even the last, like, 5 years, that I don't think it's an amount that you could say it's valued that highly.
Fair enough.
Like Mitch Richmond. Answer. Sorry, Mitch Richmond.
Again. God, Mitch Richmond is getting roasted.
Well, I'd love a statue, though. I will say this, actually. It's the last thing I was going to say. I don't play any of these sports professionally. But let's say.
What?
Let's say as a...
That's nuts.
You never know. It could be a former player. Nobody knows. Who knows I'm not a former European pro?
Would you have a statue outside of the Partizan Arena in Serbia?
Nobody would know. That's my point.
Exactly.
You never know. My point was, if I was to be inducted into like a Hall of Fame or get a statue or get my number retired as like a broadcaster for a team, let's say, you know, we do a lot of media in Seattle sports. Yeah. If one day they're like, we want to honor you somehow. My decision would definitely not be, my last choice would be to make the Hall of Fame in any of those sports.
Yeah.
My first choice
would be a statue.
Would be either a statue or if it's like a basketball team or a baseball or football team, if you're going to put me in the Ring of Honor, it's going to say like Zsar Zsur, like on the wall of the stadium for the history of sports. Statue and retirement, like Ring of Honors, definitely more meaningful to me than like, oh, you're one of the writers in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Okay, fair enough.
Would you agree with that?
No, personally, no.
You'd want to be in the Hall of Fame.
Probably, I'd probably go statue first, Hall of Fame, retired number.
So you agree? That you just said no, but
no, you said.
No, I'm just saying I'd rather be honored at a stadium.
No, I'd rather be Hall of Fame than honored at a stadium last.
You said statue.
Statue one.
Statue is being honored at a stadium.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you were saying
in total, I'd rather be honored at one stadium for the rest of life than to be like.
Would you rather be in the Ring of Honor or in the Hall of Fame?
Also Ring of Honor. I'll tell you why. Okay. And I think I might convince you. If you're in a Ring of Honor at like, let's say Mariners Stadium or Seahawks, you're of one of like 12 people for the next millions of years.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Okay. And let's say over 100 years, it's 100 people. In 100 years, you'll be one of 10,000 people in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And like this tiny engraved plaque probably somewhere in the back bathroom wall of the
Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you could like, 200 years from now, your kid goes to like to downtown Seattle and there's a statue of you, or like outside the stadium walls, there's a picture of you. You'd be like, holy crap.
I'll agree with that.
Okay. The Hall of Fame last. All right. On to the next question. All right. Well, George, I wanted to give us something that has to do with sports right now because it's something that I truly believe could happen. It has to do with Thomas Edward Brady.
Okay.
The GOAT, TB12. The best football player in the history of football, the 45-year-old myth, the man, the legend. There's a chance he comes back, right? You don't. That's not the whole question, but do you believe there's a chance?
Chance.
Okay, there's a chance. That's how I feel. If he does come back, in your opinion, two-part question. What's the best fit for him to go to? Mm-hmm. And what would be the best story for him to go to?
They're both the same. Honestly, I would always say the best fit for Thomas Edward Brady would be the Miami Dolphins because of their weapons, but I actually don't believe that because the AFC is so loaded with quarterbacks. There's just too many good quarterbacks in the AFC. So actually the best fit is another team with weapons called the San Francisco 49ers that have a whole bunch of weapons. Christian McCaffrey, Debo Samuel, great offensive line, and a very offensive-minded head coach that makes every quarterback look damn good.
Yeah.
Second of all, that is his hometown favorite team.
And he's been linked to them for like 20 years.
Yeah, for 20 years. It's also the best story. Like, it's like the most natural fit. Tom Brady on the 49ers, one last dance. Everyone's going to call everything a last dance now. But I'll call it the last march. I don't know why. Just so we don't call it the last dance. That's it. It's a very simple question for me. It's the best fit. Because it's the end of NFC, I think the Dolphins are a better fit because better, like, they both have good weather because they have more weapons. But you get out of that AFC. I mean, the AFC is just loaded, especially if Aaron Rodgers' trade happens to the Jets. Imagine if Tom and then they say Lamar Jackson might go to the Patriots. Why would he go to the AFC East and be Brady, Rodgers, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers in one division? It's just like it's a good fit in theory, but then you're in the AFC with all those quarterbacks. Like, no, go to the NFC, go to San Francisco. It's a great story, great weapons.
And Lamar Jackson on the Patriots potentially. Imagine if that was the division.
Yeah. Oh,
Lamar, Brady, Allen,
and
Rodgers.
And Rodgers, yeah.
Two of them, three of them might not even make the playoffs that good of a division.
Yeah. Because we have like Burrow, Herbert, Lawrence, Mahomes in the AFC as well.
You know, I think that I kind of agree with your question or your answer.
Yeah.
I also would say the best fit is the San Francisco 49ers. I think it's a better fit than the Dolphins even, considering that their weather might even be more mild.
There's no humidity.
He'd be with Kyle Shanahan. No, that's no disrespect to Mike McDaniel. I actually think Mike McDaniel is probably one of the coolest coaches. And
totally.
I think him and Brady would be just at like F1 races, like in all white suits together, like swagged out. They are the best fit, though, the 49ers. And they got McCaffrey now. They have Debo Samuel. They have George Kittle. They have the coach that you know.
George Kittle,
Then you know that coach is going to make them great. And let's just say he did sign there. Maybe they would take a risk in trading for a guy like DeAndre Hopkins now that's available. And do something really
something
big.
On top of that?
And the defense is phenomenal.
Yeah, the defense is phenomenal. And Brady, I mean, he hasn't lost much, but he's lost his deep ball a little bit. Debo Samuel's underneath. Christian McCaffrey underneath. Kittle, tight end. Like, ugh, that would just be like perfection.
It would. But I don't think that's the best story.
Oh, really?
I think there's two teams that are the best story.
I think I know where you're going here.
Well, one is going to be Miami, but I'll get to that. That's an if. I think the best story is if he goes back to the Patriots.
Okay, yeah, I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I could see it in your eyes.
Like, let's just say, it's like LeBron came back to Cleveland and won a championship. Yeah. Imagine if Brady went back to New England and brought them one final championship, him and Bill Belichick, especially considering, like, it's like if LeBron went back to the Miami Heat, right? And Pat Riley's like, I'll never fucking talk to him again. Then now he's like all lovey-dovey again about him. And, like,
okay, no, I like
you know,
that
they
answer.
Act like it'd be, it's like if, you know, when like a Tim Duncan comes back to the NBA randomly, just joins the Spurs again or whatever it is. I love the comeback story. But the other team would be the Dolphins also. Mm-hmm. If there's this like asterisk here. If Aaron Rodgers does end up in that division, whether it's the Patriots or Dolphins, that's why I said both of them. It would be epic if let's say Brady just had his one last year. He promised this is his last 1 year. You get two Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady matchups in the same year, and you get two Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen matchups in the same year.
And if Lamar.
Yeah, and if Lamar was like on the Patriots to say, or the Dolphins, one of the two, which is also, I feel like, a possibility.
Shit.
Like, imagine the matchups. Now, that's where I go to the story. I don't necessarily think if those are the best fit, like you said, because I do think
I wouldn't even know if that's the best story with the Dolphins. It's the best TV viewership.
That's what I mean by story. Like I guess that's a good way to look at it too. It's like the story is the Patriots, but if it wasn't the Patriots,
or
the
49ers,
next,
like his hometown.
Yeah, but that'd be third on my list because I think even Dolphins would be a best story because he's playing twice against Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Because last time he played against Bill Belichick and the Patriots, remember how big of a deal that was in New England? He get one home game against him, one game on the road. And if Aaron Rodgers is also in the division, you get two Patriot games. You get two Aaron Rodgers games, two Josh, that's six games out of 17 for Tom Brady that is like a wow game, right?
Absolutely.
And so I like the story of the AFC East or the fit of the San Francisco 49ers. But third on my list for story, George, would be him being on the 49ers. I mean, that is
fair enough.
Second or third best story. I guess they're kind of mixed in with the Dolphins side. Like the Dolphins.
Where would the Texans be on your list of stories?
Zero.
Okay, me too.
Last. They'd actually probably be the last because they're the least storied franchise right now in football. I feel like anywhere would be cooler, like Nashville with the Titans. I feel like going to Seattle and joining a Pete Carroll is cooler. I feel like going to LA is cooler.
Yeah, I wasn't really trying to sell you on the Texans.
Yeah. But that'd be the worst story. Because even the other bad teams in the league, like the Jets, that would be a cool story. Yeah. He's in the AFC East. He's in New York. The Houston Texans, like Cowboys would be cool, right? They like would, any of them would. I think any team, because then you can go to storied franchise. If he replaces Aaron Rodgers, that'd be wild. If he went to, I don't know who else, the Bears, that'd be wild, right? Like, and I said the Bears like that on purpose. The Bears.
The Bears.
So I just think he would have so many good storylines anywhere, but specifically Patriots, Dolphins, or 49ers.
All right, fair enough.
And I guess Tampa Bay would be cool because he'd just go back and win. You never know. But interesting. Do you think he comes back? Chances, what are your odds?
20% yes, 80% no.
I'm going 50-50 still. Okay. I think he has no idea what he wants to do, which I think he's kind of made it clear. He has no idea if he really wants to retire.
It's true. Yeah, that's very true.
He's doing it because he thinks it's the right thing, but like deep down he wants to play.
Absolutely.
So it's tough. Well, George, I might have cut myself off, George, right before that last break, and I said on to the next question, so I pressed restart, and now we're on to the next question.
All right. So next question, Sammy. I'm going storyline question two. What would be the best storyline to win the NBA championship this year, plain and simple? I have my answer. I'm going to guess it's yours. It's the same one.
God, that's a hard question for me. It depends what... I guess, you know what this interview you're asking me? You're not asking me what the masses would find.
No, I'm asking you.
So I was
going to
say,
personally,
for some people, the best story would be like the Kings, right? Coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It'd be like if the Mariners won the World Series last year, like 16-year drought for the Mariners have been 21. Like, and they win the championship their first year back in decades and their first championship ever for both teams. That'd be like the Cinderella good story. But you're talking about like the real.
What's the best story? Yeah.
Man, I think there's two.
Me too.
And I'm going to say there would have been a third if the Warriors didn't win last year.
Me too. We have the same answers.
It's got to be number one, LeBron James and the Lakers.
That's my number one.
Okay. And number two for me, there's reasons behind this, personal reasons, but it's this is half my podcast, so I can use some personal opinions here. I think the second coolest would be the Phoenix Suns of Kevin Durant.
That's my second one. Yeah, no, I knew we'd have the same answers.
And I think the Durant one is extra interesting because of a couple things. The first championship to the franchise in history.
Yep.
A really good basketball town, Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I live in Phoenix. You live in Phoenix.
We could go
to parades, go to an NBA Finals. Yeah. Really cool. Chris Paul is on that team. Yeah. And Chris Paul might go down. Not for sure. I mean, like, you could say other guys, but I'm not going to mention, like, a Jokic because he's young. But, like, Chris Paul might go down as, like, a top five player ever to not... He's considered a top five point guard in the history of the NBA that didn't win a championship.
If he doesn't win a championship, I think he might go down as the best player to ever not win a championship. You make argument between him, Karl Malone, and Dirk.
Yeah, and, like,
Karl Malone and Charles Barkley.
Yeah, and, like, you have the John Stockton in there because some people consider John's... My thing is, he's on that list. Like, he's probably the best... Him and John Stockton are kind of tied right there, but the best point guard to never win a championship.
Yep.
And then he would be a top one, two, or three, or four max player in general to never win a championship.
100%.
Like, I love Carmelo Anthony. I know a lot of people love him too, but like, to me, like, the gap's big, right? Like,
to me, it's huge.
Yeah, Carmelo's not a top five shooting guard or small forward in history.
Carmelo's a top 70 player in NBA history. Chris Paul's a top 30 player in NBA history.
And Chris Paul's a top... Is he possibly a top five point guard, even with it? Like, not just that didn't win a championship. Like, you look at, like, Isaiah Thomas, mm-hmm. Magic Johnson. I was going to say, I don't know what I consider Curry.
That's my thing. It depends on what you consider Curry. But,
okay, he's top seven then, right?
Let's do this. Pure point guard.
So Curry's not a pure point guard.
No, let's say pure point guards.
Neither is Allen Iverson.
No, neither is Allen Iverson. It's Stockton, Isaiah Thomas, Chris Paul. I don't know if I didn't watch Oscar Robertson. Is he a pure point guard? I don't know. I have no idea.
Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson is a pure point guard.
So, so he's like a top five point guard ever.
Right.
It could be considered to many top two or three.
Right.
So not only would he be a top one or two point guard and never win a championship, or top three or four player, he's also still, no matter what, a top five point guard maybe in the history of the NBA. For Durant to go to a new city after all the criticism of, and I know they're good, but like, this is different than when he joined the Warriors,
right?
Right? Like, I know a lot of people are like, he needs to go somewhere where they've never won. Well, he did. And I know Booker and Paul made it to the finals.
Well, he didn't yet.
Yeah, but he went to a team that's never won. Booker's still young. Chris Paul's an old, great player. DeAndre Ayton's an up-and-coming big. He would have completely flipped the narrative of the NBA. The Phoenix Suns would be on the board with Devin Booker, with Chris Paul as NBA champions. He would elevate Chris Paul's career. He'd immediately make Devin Booker a top 75 player in the NBA, like historically almost.
And a household name.
Yeah, a household. Like, Booker's already like that borderline superstar star. Right. Booker all of a sudden, I mean, you could make the argument that like a Booker's the type of guy that could win an NBA Finals MVP. Absolutely. Even with Durant on the team.
Oh my God, that storyline would be just nauseating, huh?
Like if Chris Paul or Booker win the MVP. Final
MVP. Like, well, Kevin Durant did go to the Phoenix Suns and win without Steph Curry, but did he win the MVP? Tell me, did he win the MVP?
He'd be like,
that'd be on first
take. He can't win without the help of Steph Curry or Chris Paul.
Yeah, it's like oh my God, that'd be nauseating. Please, please, Kevin. If you do win the championship, just win the MVP so people shut the fuck up.
Even though he did win the MVP with the Warriors, but still.
Like, just shut
the... You know what the
my dad would say, shut the fuck.
Shut the fuck is what our dad says, even though we taught him now that it's up. Yeah. But he's Middle Eastern immigrant. Yeah, it's hard for him. It would be the storylines of, like, Durant won three championships, but could he have won without Booker and Paul or Kawhi or without a Curry... Clay and Draymond, it's like, dude,
what?
He won again.
Yeah. Just leave him alone.
To me, and you know, I don't hate on the championship. Like it's obviously a championship, but I think it was a little unfair in the NBA at that point. Yeah. But this would be like his cleanest run yet. Like he went and joined a team that lost an NBA championship. The following year, got their ass kicked in Game 7 against Luka. Mm-hmm. A team that can't make the playoffs.
That's another good story. Yeah. Somehow they sneak back into the playoffs and Kyrie wins a championship. And then right on stage when he's getting his MVP trophy, he takes a vaccine and puts it in his fucking arm and says, I'm vaxxed and a champ, bitches.
You know, I wanted to laugh at that, but that was one of the top five dumbest jokes we've ever had.
No, imagine that. Wouldn't that be the coolest storyline in NBA history? Like, imagine if that actual scenario happened.
I mean, I don't know if that'd be as cool. If he would be so satisfied that he got vaccinated. I think it'd be cooler if he, like, pretended and, like, threw it at a fan.
Oh, or, like, went and vaxxed, like, the commissioner, like, right in his face. He's like, I'm already vaxxed.
Or stick a needle himself and, like, I'm on roids. I'm out.
Mic drop. Yeah. I don't even want the trophy. It's part of the association.
Yeah, he'd probably be like, it's part of something that's not, like, racially, financially, I don't know, like, feasible. I don't want a trophy. That would not be a cool storyline. I think that would fucking suck for the NBA if Kyrie came out of nowhere and won a championship after this year. Probably be bad for the NBA. But it's easily, we talked enough about Durant. Easily the number one answer for me is LeBron James and Anthony Davis because they were shit all year. LeBron's old. He's hurt.
It'd be the number one story. He also broke the record for scoring this season.
That's true. And Davis is a piece of glass. And LeBron would tie Kobe, Duncan in that number five slot.
Yeah, and then now we're talking about a GOAT conversation for real.
Like, for real. Like, okay,
for real now.
Even if he's one championship away from Jordan, like, the league is different. Like, you can give me all the...
You could make a huge argument and convince me.
Now you can add the longevity stuff because you also have the championship.
Austin Reeves finally gets his championship he's been waiting for.
Oh, yeah. He's long 2 years. Long 2 years.
The D'Angelo Russell redemption story.
That team actually is a good story. They blew up.
No, I do.
Team.
I agree. I'm saying I think it's the best story,
and it's a good story for the Westbrook haters. Like Westbrook gets traded, they lose to the Clippers, or the Clippers lose to them in like the second round. Lakers go on to win a championship, replacing Westbrook with D'Angelo Russell,
and Russell Westbrook finally gets his ring because he played the minimum number of games that would get a ring.
That'd be kind of cool. that would guarantee be the best story.
I know.
Like it's the best story by far, and then Suns number two.
All right, perfect.
Simply
that answer. We have the same answer. So
same answer. But I'm excited for this NBA season. Playoffs. Parody. Even though we're once again talking about LeBron and Kevin Durant.
Austin Reeves, baby.
off to the final question. All right, we got somewhat of a rapid fire just want to know, George, your thoughts on this question.
Yep.
So, I want to know, and let's leave out sports that we don't watch often, like
cricket.
Like, great example, cricket. I was going to say lacrosse, things like that, like ping pong professionally. Forget those, like the major sports in America. What is the hardest sport to play in our world? I said our world because I don't want to mention cricket. What is the hardest sport? And the reason I thought this was an interesting question is because there's so many factors, including obviously there's like skill sports like basketball, soccer, and baseball. Yeah. But there's also like more physical demand in the soccer and a football and a basketball than baseball. Football is a lot of like man strength and the most dangerous. So there's like so many different possible answers. And that's why I want to know, what do you think is the hardest sport to play in our world?
The hardest single thing to do is hit a 100-mile-per-hour fastball. To me, like that seems impossible to make contact with a baseball at 100 miles per hour. I would say that's the hardest. Football, like, yeah, it's physically the hardest because it hurts. Soccer is the hardest because like you're running and you're kicking. But the actual single hardest thing to do is hit a baseball. So I'm gonna go baseball because to hit a baseball is the hardest thing to do.
Okay, I actually agree. I think it's between soccer and baseball. Yeah. One, the footwork required to run with a soccer ball.
So can I ask you a question? What's the hardest sport to play or to play professionally? Because I think it's different answers. To play professionally, the hardest is basketball because you have to have this DNA genetic thing where you're 6'7".
I'm going to disagree with that. I think the hardest thing to play professional is baseball. Because when you're talking about... like baseball, anyone can pick up a baseball and like swing with their friends, but to actually be able to hit
100 miles per hour.
Yeah. No matter your, the thing that I guess the reason I think that is kind of the opposite of what you said. Like the fact that you can be any size in baseball, you can be Jose Altuve or Aaron Judge.
So there's way more pool of people to make it.
Yeah. And it's just that much harder that all that really matters is your skill.
Yeah.
Because in basketball, and you know basketball is my favorite sport. But in basketball, if you're LeBron James and you're 5'4", you're not LeBron James anymore. If you're Giannis and 5'4", you're not Giannis. In baseball, if you're Jose Altuve at 5'6", or at 6'4", you're Jose Altuve. Now, you might have different styles of how you hit the ball, whatever. But like you literally have 6'8", Aaron Judge hitting home runs and a Jose Altuve at 5'6". Being an MVP.
Yeah, there's that picture, Altuve versus next to Judge. Yeah, no, that's a good point. I guess my initial answer is what it is. It's baseball.
And I guess for the common man, baseball professionally is probably the hardest. But for the common man, is it also baseball? Like, because the common man might be football even because you can't even play. Yeah. Like, the easiest sport to pick up and play anywhere is probably soccer because you have a soccer ball. And then basketball because everywhere has hoops. Yeah. Baseball and football, like...
like, you can't just go play pickup baseball.
Yeah. You can toss a football and toss a baseball, but there's no way for the... which also I think makes baseball harder. Like, in order to get there, you have to have...
games.
That, yeah, like real games.
I guess
you
go to the batting cage. Like, your game aspect of baseball is just like an individual skill, so you can practice your skill. But like football, you can't really practice your skill. Like actually emulating an offensive line, a quarterback, a cornerback. Like you need to emulate an actual, like that actual thing is a lot really hard.
Yeah, and I think there's obviously different answers to it if you ask physically versus skill.
Yeah.
Physically, it's obviously football. Now, it depends on position, of course, and you can say, well, in soccer, you're running 10 miles. Yeah, they're all physically demanding in certain ways, but football obviously is the most dangerous physically.
Baseball is the least demanding physically.
Yeah, yeah. By far.
That's why I'd be a baseball player. Like, you probably live longer too.
Yeah, I mean, and like you live, I know it's a lot of travel, but you're making $100 million to.
Yeah, you do it for 12 years and you live the rest of your life.
You're on the field for a total of like 55 minutes if you're on defense, also. If you're a pitcher, you're on.
Well, if you're a DH, it's even better.
Baseball is definitely the hardest, but also would be maybe the best to play professionally.
Absolutely.
We talked about this on our last podcast, like what sport would you want to play? Like we talked about soccer and all these things, but I brought up baseball because like I could be Mike Trout. I'm never going to get like, you might get hurt, but you're never going to get like hit by Cam Chancellor or Ray Lewis.
Yeah, exactly. You might run into the wall.
Yeah. You're not going to like try to go for a dunk and have LeBron land on you. Like the worst is you're going to like run into a wall and tear your ACL.
Or get hit by a pitch.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting.
Love it. Good question.
But football is definitely the most physical, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then baseball is the hardest skill.
Absolutely.
Although, I want to say one more thing. Basketball is also probably the most demanding on both ends of a sport. Yeah, like, because soccer,
you're playing offense and defense.
Yeah, because football, you're playing one side. Baseball, you're doing them at separate times. Soccer, there's a little bit of both, but like if you're a defender, you're less likely to be a scorer at the same time.
If you're a midfielder, you're playing both.
Yeah, but you're still not like super, like you don't have to be super perfect at both sides.
No, no, you just have to be like, solid.
To be the best player in the NBA, a lot of times, I know the NBA's changed, but let's just go to real history is you need to play offense and defense.
Well, you still have to play defense even if you're bad at defense. You're still playing defense all the time.
Yeah, and you still have to give effort.
Yeah.
Like I know people make fun of the NBA, like they don't give any effort. It's still effort for James Harden to run down to the other side of the court and try to guard Giannis, even if he's not giving 110.
Not doing it successfully, but yeah.
He's trying. You're
absolutely
in position, and you're getting bumped. So it's interesting. I love sports, man.
Sports are fun.
All right. You're rapid fire.
All right. All right, Sammy. So here's my rapid fire question for you. The MLB just put up a pitch clock. The NBA now has a play-in game and an in-season tournament. What do you think is the best rule change we've seen so far in sports during our lifetime?
Woo! During our lifetime. I'll tell you what the worst one was to start.
Tell me.
The worst one was NFL adding a 17th game. Completely unnecessary.
I agree with that.
Unnecessary. Not good for the playoffs. Also, then this year saying you can flex into Thursday night.
Yeah.
Like, players were not happy about that. I think it's still on the board, but like, unnecessary.
Agreed.
So, like, there are some bad changes. It's gonna. Well, there's a lot more to it too. Like we can talk about NBA reviews, which has a lot of flaws still.
Right.
There's baseball reviews, which still has
really
flaws.
Call those rule changes. I would say just how you interpret the rules.
So you're talking about like pitch clock in season tournament,
NFL overtime. Now both teams get the ball. That's the actual rule change. It changes the whole game.
Only in the playoffs, right?
Yeah. True.
You know, now that you mentioned it, the NFL one might be the best rule. I'm leaning between, because the in-season tournament is a cool rule change. Yeah. It's not necessarily like, I don't think it's impacting every, it's not impacting every single game day in, day out.
But don't forget, there's also the play-in game. That's another one. I don't know if I said that. Yeah. The play-in games.
Also cool, but it's also made 20 out of 30 teams make it to the playoffs.
College football playoffs.
Okay, I mean, I'm not going to even, forget the college football playoffs, because that was like unnecessary to not have in the get-go.
I agree.
I don't even know if that's a rule change or like they just like fixed the sport. Like there was no reason for a computer to pick who's the national championship.
Right, I agree with that.
So like let's talk about these things that are like even the NFL 17th game. Let's talk about like the in-game rules, Like because I think that's where I'm leaning anyways, between the pitch clock in baseball and between the NFL overtime rules. I didn't even think of the overtime rules till you said it. The pitch clock, which I love, is because on average right now, I'll just tell, and this is my number two answer, the pitch clock. But pitch clock, on average games last year, the first four days, whatever, weekend, I think we're on average like 3 hours and 2 minutes. This year, the 2 hours and 36 minutes.
Yeah.
But there's also been on average one run more scored per game in those less times, because there's less time for pitchers and less time for batters, and
people
speeds
can
up
steal.
The game. Yeah, and stealing. Oh, yeah, we have like two times the amount of stolen bases.
Yep.
So, phenomenal. And the reason that's phenomenal for the game is not only is it really helpful for the in-game situation like the football overtime rules, but it also makes it more enjoyable to watch all year round, because the football rules is only playoffs. It's a little different. This changed the game forever in baseball from like the whole history of baseball.
I agree.
But I'm still going to go with the football overtime rules. And the reason I'm going to go with that is it was absolutely ridiculous. Like that game where the Bills made their epic comeback and the Chiefs just picked the right coin toss.
Yeah.
Like I think it was crazy that not both teams had a chance to score. Like even soccer, who has some bad rules, like when it comes like PKs is not the best way to decide it. At least they give each other two overtimes.
Yep.
And then they're like, fuck it. It's been 3 hours now. Like let's, or 2 hours technically, right? 1 hour. It's like 120, right? Or 125.
120.
So it's like, we gave you 2 hours. Like now let's just do PKs.
Just fucking, you guys couldn't figure it out yourself.
Yeah. Like it's PK time, right? Like it's like if baseball just did like a home run derby at the end. It's not the best way to figure it out, but it's a way to figure
it out.
Let's
figure this out.
Yeah, and it's a way to figure it out. Football, they had no way to figure it out. We'd like, it's literally like who wins the coin toss probably had a 70% higher chance to win the game.
I'm sure there's a stat behind it that's close to that number, yeah.
Yeah, I made it up. But I'm sure it's over 50%.
I agree with you. I think it's close, yeah.
It's got to be over 50%. Yep. I mean, in years before, didn't they change where the field goal used to end the game, but then they changed it to touchdown, or you get field goal, you get a second possession. Yep. I love what they did, where now you get a full possession, whether it's field goal or touchdown. That's probably mine.
All right. Mine is the pitch clock because it changed the whole game of baseball.
Yeah, the whole season.
In the whole season.
Yeah. That's the only thing with the NFL one. It's specifically playoffs. Exactly. And did we even have one this year overtime?
No.
Yeah, I remember because it was like such a big rule change and we didn't even
get to do it.
Yeah, it's a little unfortunate. Yeah. But I'm going to go football.
All right. Perfect.
All right. Now, we're going to get to some personal questions. To end the podcast.
All right, Sammy, personal questions times. You have stuff that with Sammy. It's about content creation.
Stuff with Sammy. I know he almost said stuff that matters.
It
I know.
Used to be called that.
Stuff with Sammy, S-A-M-I.
So you do like content creation and stuff. So I'm just going to make this simple. It's a quick answer. But what are the five tools, essential tools for you, tools and software for content creation? You have to choose five. Five most important.
You know, I actually had a video planned that was like, my essentials for content creation.
You can choose five.
I think I have the five.
Let's see it.
I think I have exactly five. If I make it six, I'm going to make it six because...
I mean, there's no rules.
Because it's my answer.
There's no rules here.
This is my answer.
You can only have five.
Yeah, like I might make it six. Number one, an iPhone or an iPad, either or.
Yep.
Like something to record with. Don't need a fancy camera. This podcast right now you're watching on YouTube or wherever you're seeing it, it has a couple things, components. It has a computer, it has a mic, and it has an iPad.
Yep.
But computer's not on my list. That's for if you're podcasting, fine, you need a computer. But I'm going to go iPad or iPhone. I will just stick with iPhone or phone in general because you don't necessarily need a second device like an iPad. So phone. I'm going to go microphone, and I'm not going to say that's probably number five on the list, but I'm going to say microphone because you can start without a microphone if you really wanted. Number three would be CapCut.
Okay, I knew you were going to say that.
The best app in the world for editing videos. I know a lot of people love like Adobe Premiere Pro and what's the other one? DaVinci and things like that. But if you just want to get started, we're more than getting started now. We make money off content and I just use CapCut. It's perfect for the simple man. We're not making movies here, so like it's great. A light. Mm-hmm. So
that was one of my
a ring light, attachable shine light type of thing. It might be just those four. What did I say anything? I said phone, microphone, light,
CapCut,
and CapCut. Let me.
I know that's why I had four too. I can like.
I'm trying to think if there's
personality.
Not we all have
software. I said tool or software.
Yeah, we all have a personality. That's another thing with content creation is we all have a personality, whether or not you think people are going to like your personality. Yeah. There's a certain group that's going to like who you are. I would say, man, a tool?
Tool, software, anything.
You need an app to post it on.
Okay, that's fair. Social media.
Yeah, you got to find your lane. Now, you could do it on all social, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, but you need apps.
All right. I like your answer.
I use apps as one answer. And just get started.
You have five. You can say like iPhone and iPad. That's two.
Yeah. I mean, it's something in those range, right? Yeah. Like, I'll throw in computer.
Okay.
Because if you have a computer with your iPhone or iPad, you know, you can have some notes in front of you. You can have organizational methods. You can get CapCut on your computer. You can do research. You know, if you want to look up an article that has something to do with you talking about, you don't have to pause your video, go back to your iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. You can. Yeah, that's a good answer.
And you can store things on there. You can also edit on your computer. So
love it.
Computer's the last one, but not essential. It's optional.
I love it.
All right, George. I'm going to give you your personal question. George has a page called Going On George, at Going On George. And does a lot of travel stuff. And so my travel question, and last episode I think I asked you where's like the one place you want to go, and I know it's Syria, but I wanted to ask you because that's where you were born. that's where our parents were born and raised. It's where we're both from blood-wise. Yep. But this one I'm going to say, and you're going to be like, oh, God, this is a hard to answer. But what is your one greatest experience while traveling? Your one greatest moment, your one greatest story?
When I was in Colombia with you and we rented motorcycles and drove to Guadalupe, which is like a rock in a small town, and we had to drive through the it's like the jungle of Colombia.
I was going to say the Amazon.
Yeah, I was going to say the Amazonian rainforest, and it wasn't that deep. But like we had to drive like hour and a half through the mountains, and it was raining, and Sammy crashed his motorcycle
I dented my shin.
Dented his shin. And yeah, I think that's the greatest travel experience ever. You know, we rented them in Medellin. We grabbed these motorcycles. We drove to Guadalupe, and we're driving through the city. It was just a really surreal moment where you're in a foreign country driving motorcycles to go somewhere, and it was really fun.
Yeah, it's just two brothers. I was going through some shit at that time in life, and George made me go with him to Colombia. Made is a weird term, but you know what I mean? Like made me, like got me out of my...
Yeah, I basically made you go.
Yeah, made me go, got me out of a funk, and we just experienced like a really cool life experience. I did crash. We did have the guy that, you know, we were doing an Airbnb at like a condo, and he goes, you guys are driving to
Guadalupe.
You guys are crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy brothers. And I made the mistake of like, I told George, I want to get a gift for our parents from here. And like, you know, George was like, hey, but hurry up. And I went to like 17 stores until I found something I agreed on, which in turn meant we started driving back an hour and a half, 2 hours in the dark, and it started raining. And due to my crash earlier in the day, my front cover of the wheel broke off, and that meant water was splashing in my mouth the whole time we were driving back.
Yeah. It was really fun, though.
I didn't get sick from the water, though. It's clean water in Medellin.
Don't get sick. It's weird.
Yeah. Knock on wood. Much love, George.
Love it.
I think that's all we got. This is the Sports on Tap Brothers Podcast, Hookah Edition number 2. And we'll be back next week.
Yes, we will.
And George, you know what we like to say?
Hey, we'll see y'all next time.
Thanks for stopping by. That was what I was looking for. Peace.